I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Cash the Ticket, presented by FanDuel.
It's Cash the Ticket. Rate, review, subscribe. Jim Costa, Mike Valeni. And this episode is
about... goals out for summer.
Yeah, what now?
What do you mean, what now?
Well, now.
Well, I get 90 days of having one job, and then I'm back here today. I get back from Saratoga breaking down the ridiculousness that is college football with you in August.
So you're not on social media, famously.
Thank God.
People go, hey, what's going on with the pod? What's going on? Guys.
The end of the season.
This is what's going on with the pod. We're going to wrap today. We're going to talk a little draft, a little derby. We'll sprinkle stuff in, and then we'll see you in the fall.
We'll see you in the summer. Because the day the calendar hits August, it's like training camp. We're back to camp.
Full previews.
Full college previews, full NFL previews.
Division by division.
Full futures.
Yep.
Shout out Texas being back. But we'll do it all. But we do have some things to discuss about what people want. And what I'd like is if you're watching on YouTube or if you're just listening, you drop it in the comments or in your five-star review of things you'd like to see added to the pod. I mean, I know. More video. Yes, we're going to do that. Part of that is... look, I'll shoot people straight the way I always do. You want more video? More money. Period. That's a sales issue where it's like, look, we're sold out, but if you want to sell video, you want us doing more, they got to do more. So we're working on that piece of it. I think we will be able to execute that. Year two, we got a new studio that we put together. I think it worked out very nicely. We do want to add to this.
Of course.
I know we had kicked an idea around of... maybe we bring, and this is up to you guys, but maybe working with FanDuel, maybe working with this company, maybe we once a week talk to a different voice and bring them in to talk about our picks, talk about their picks. I don't know, something different. Because there's only so much you and I can do.
Right.
Where it's just us bickering about games nonstop.
And when we both agree, you can't just do the same thing. We have to spruce stuff up. We have to mix stuff in.
Yes.
We had a little value cactus this year. Who knows what next year holds?
We added way more than that stupid thing. By the way, his hat fell off.
Yeah, there it is. Fell off.
But I know one thing we need to execute better, and it didn't work the way I had hoped, and I have to find the right people to do it. But it's like we want to bring you the NBA and the NHL. Part of that is a sellable, and part of that is you need people that are going to stick to the plan.
Man hours.
And it's very difficult. And look, face it, you know, if you're recording a 5 or 10 minute thing on a 3-time-a-week basis, man, you ain't going to retire on that.
Mm-mm.
And this is the issue. You know, we got one guy locally, younger guy, and I don't know whether it's laziness, whether it's stupidity, whether it's just he didn't find the money to be enough to keep him interested, even though he says he doesn't have a pot to piss in. It was put before him where he could do this. And he showed up like twice. Well, newsflash, I ain't your mommy or your daddy. You're not going to get paid for not showing up. So what we need to do is I do want to have a more complete lineup of selections. But you know what I've run into? Evan has told me this. People have told me this. I'm sure social will say it. If you and I aren't on the pod, people don't want to listen to it. That's really the problem. And I'm not making 100 NHL picks and 100 NBA picks. I'm just not doing it. So we have to find a way to begin giving more people what they want without us going out of her mind.
Well, the key, like, grow the show ecosystem, right? Yep. That's the key in year three.
Yes. That I want to do more.
Yeah.
And I do want to put something together for March Madness next year for the show where we're all out there. I think that that's just something that has to happen. I think it'd be a big time event. It'd be fun. Like, is there a live element to it? Maybe.
Well, and the live element, I know we wanted to do, and we did some this last year with football. We're going to do more next year.
Oh, God, because you'll have your weekends.
Saturdays and Sundays, and that's not going to be me driving around. We can just home base it.
Biggest change. You're right.
Yes.
The biggest change will be, I don't want to overpromise and underdeliver, but almost weekly live reaction pods.
We should be able to do that.
We can do that. Well, because you're in day part radio.
Yes. Consistency.
So that makes it easier. That's where we can do it live from the man cave. We can have games on reaction pod. Here's my question.
Yeah.
How do we execute a live bet? You are a social media whore.
Yeah. I thought you were going to clean it up. No, say what you normally say.
I'm going to.
Yeah.
No, you are. I mean, you love it. You love the engagement. You love people. It's very bizarre. But how do we begin attacking the social game of putting our content out there? That doesn't involve me ever speaking. That's basically what I'm trying to do, Evan. How do we pull that off?
How does Mike provide the content without dealing with the cesspool that is social media?
Yeah, I want to be upfront. I will have no participation in this. I will never read your comments. I will never reply to you. I won't know that you exist. But I do want to find a more effective way to, in a serious note, get the content into the social media pipeline.
Because you and I in the fall, it's workhorse, right? I mean, we're in every day, twice a day with the podcast. We want to make sure that we do it in the way that gets to you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I will never talk to any of you. I'm just being upfront.
I'll talk to some of you guys.
Jim, fine. Here's my question. Is there a better way for us to do that? And what are the most effective social media channels to push this out to? It's another one people could talk to us about. Either cashtheticketpodcast@gmail.com or get in the comments. I mean, Jim, Evan, certainly. What is the most effective social media platform?
Well, who even knows if TikTok's around in 9 months? I would say I'm on Twitter or X a lot. I know Instagram, the Reels. I know YouTube. We already have the channel. Appreciate you guys who have subscribed. And we'll keep mining for stuff. We want to be where you guys are.
Well, what I'd like to do is drive people to either the YouTube or to download the podcast. Because the reality is, giving your shit away for free, that's a failing business
model. But a little teaser. Little this, little that, and then, hey, come get the real thing, the full podcast.
Evan, is that something that is doable, or am I out of my mind?
We got a summer to figure it out.
I'm out of my mind. I can already see it in his face.
Evan can see the work that you're assigning him right now.
No.
I think it's going to be like Instagram is the most popular. Twitter's
very in the moment. Yeah, yeah.
So what if we just made it an Instagram-heavy focus?
Be great
to get people some of the video. Now, you people out there, you got to promise your Nona you're gonna click on this shit, and then I don't even care if you've already listened to it, you got to hit the download button.
But it all goes,
that's what keeps this going.
But it all goes hand in hand. We spruce up the studio a little bit. You guys want to see it, we're gonna push it out to you. Extra content we didn't have this year. It'll all go hand in hand, Mike.
Okay, it sounds good on paper. So,
sure,
expanding our coverage is got to happen. Mm-hmm. And I have to find the right person because I got extremely let down by somebody on my staff this year. We will have a more driven social media angle.
Mm-hmm.
We will be doing more video on the YouTube. The possibility of adding a once a week special episode, and whether it's getting our picks attacked, talking about our picks, framing it all out, I think there has to be a way where we can begin making leans earlier in the week, and then we do a final, hey, these are the plays. And then how do we execute a Jim Costa old sneaky bets? That's your nickname. How do we get
a little Saturday morning,
do we do that? Now, listen, mm-hmm. I will tell you effectively, I'm going to New York a lot less this fall. I'm the product's established. Now, in my ideal world, I'd fly to New York to do the Boomer Show once a month. I don't need to do this every week. Like, the product's good. the relationship is good. I'm going to travel less. Why? Because I have a life I want to live. But that allows me to be here more and do more. In a different universe, would there be a college game day version of this show?
Hell yeah.
An hour on Saturday morning? Sure there would. What are the executables on that? What does it look like? How do you sell it? See, these are things that the next 90 days, guys, this is how it works. You wrap your season, and we've got 90 days to figure out the next season.
Mm-hmm.
So all what did you call it? Team No Bad Ideas?
That's what I said before the mics were on.
My goal is
As Evan proceeded to shit on one of your ideas.
Oh, he hated it. But I want to throw as many cool ideas out there, and if we can execute two or three of them and do them well, I think that that's a win for you, the listener, and obviously for us growing the podcast.
Well, and guys, I mean, we're in this. You guys are too. If we're missing something, we'll take any idea to make this thing better.
Correct.
For your number three, even if it comes from an email. If someone goes, hey, this might be stupid, send it anyway.
Yeah, the other idea, and the one I can't wrap my mind around, because I don't, as much success as we've had, I'm very leery about the merch.
Yeah.
I'm very leery about, like, how many people actually... Now, I mean, again, the millions of downloads are one thing, but, like...
To spend the money?
Do you really want to buy a t-shirt that, you know, says value on it? Like, I get a little leery about that.
You don't want to get too high on your own supply.
Yeah.
You don't want to think you got this big ego, like everyone's going to buy this stuff.
Right. I mean,
we appreciate you listening enough. We're not going to sit there and, you know, expect you to buy all the merch.
But if it's something that people want, you're like, is that really what we do?
Would you really buy Vern little...
No.
Little dice in your car and they say squeeze.
Bing, 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 bing. But no, I think let's get the idea box going.
Yes.
And we want to execute two or three of these. More if it's possible. So... tell us what you want. Do it in the comments, social engagement, whatever it is. And we're going to try to, you know, scale again. And you got to understand, the other thing is we do need to hire someone else. You know, Evan is one human. We're going to need somebody to team up with Evan that Evan can, I don't say delegate in a bad way. It's just Evan has a million things he wants to do to grow the pod in certain silos. We're going to need somebody else.
By the way, last guy to get the memo, it's hot now. What's this guy in, like a full...
Pants, sweatshirt. I mean, dude, it's 80.
Much like I got the memo, we're wearing the polos. Come on.
My goodness. Okay, that's kind of a look ahead to season three. Now.
The NBA playoffs are underway, and you want to get to the game? Me too, but I'm a Pistons fan. Let me live through you. Get your tickets with Game Time. Game Time is an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which means you're getting your playoff tickets even faster. Prices on Game Time actually go down closer to tip-off. Save up to 60% buy-in last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, whatever. Like, let's look at the Denver Nuggets. Reigning champs, hot ticket. You click on the game in the app. Flash deals, under $300. Yellow lightning bolt, it stands out. Red fire emoji, cheapest seat, $115. And that's all in pricing. That's no surprise fees at checkout. I've used Game Time to buy Red Wings tickets. Nothing better than going to a baseball game day of. Boom, boom, you click in, easy to navigate. Take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account. Use that code CASH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account. Redeem the code CASH, CASH, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma is focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter your search based on the qualities that are most important to you. Then you can book a free 15-minute consultation call with any therapist you're interested in seeing, so you can get a feel for whether they're the right fit before you commit to a full-length session. Alma also makes it easy for mental health care providers to navigate insurance. That's why 95% of therapists in their directory accept insurance for sessions, so you can find care that's affordable without stressing about the paperwork. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit HelloAlma.com/therapy60 to schedule a free consultation today. That's HelloAlma.com/therapy60.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
How do you want to wrap season two? What do you got on your menu here? What do you want to talk to me about?
Okay, so I have some NFL draft stuff. I just want to talk sports with you. Can we do that one more time before football season?
I guess. I'm so sick of the draft, but yes.
Okay. I thought we were team no bad ideas. That's what I want to do. And I do want some early derby thoughts. I know you'll pay that off, too.
Oh, I got you on that. That's okay. Fine. No problem.
And I have mailbag.
Okay, let's attack.
Let's hit it off.
Yeah, let's do this.
I have some winners and losers from the draft.
No grades.
No grades.
Winners.
Are we not allowed to do grades?
I hate grades.
But you know, this is the media machine. We can't wait 3 years and do the marshmallow test.
I know. Like, I also think
it's
dumb.
Guys, I'll give my opinion in 3 years.
No, I agree. You can talk about what you like and don't like, but I always find the letter grade to just be so stupid.
It's just a simplification of the like how you feel about your team. Anyway,
okay, I'm listening.
Some winners. I have the city of Detroit as a winner. Record-setting performance.
Great. Because you know what it is today? Right back to normal.
But I think there's a lot of lazy narratives that, you know, hope
oh,
get
sure.
Put
people
to
thought
bed.
They were going to come to Detroit.
Get carjacked.
Get
like,
in a rap battle. You know,
battle.
Cheddar Bob would shoot himself in the dick. You'd get carjacked. No, we're none of those things.
Right.
Detroit's a very good place.
Yes.
Our city is just a little sparse, a little spread out.
But I would tell you, that could have been a million if there weren't, you know, restrictions on the number of people let in those first two nights.
Or if we had a more Grant Park, you know, Chicago like setup. Or
but Chicago didn't hold a candle to what Detroit has done. You could have had three drafts in Chicago and they wouldn't have drawn
That's
what
fair.
We drew this last week. And so just the city of Detroit was an early winner.
Sure.
J.J. McCarthy, a popular quarterback on this podcast, winner in that he landed in a good situation.
Yes. Okay. I guess. Yeah, okay. I'm thrilled for him.
Okay.
Listen, but
oh,
he's
I know
also,
you are.
No, but he's also the mortal enemy of any Lions fan.
Correct.
This is where if you're a Wolverine fan, I don't understand how you root for JJ now that he's wearing the purple and gold.
Can't
you
do
can't.
It. No.
You got, honestly, you got to hope you go in and knock this kid out of a football game so you're facing Nick Mullins' punchable face.
Or Sam Darnold.
That's it. Like, your whole value point is you don't want JJ severely hurt, but, like, your job is, no, I want JJ McCarthy to be terrible or have an injury-riddled career or both. Because if you're a Lions fan, if JJ's any good, the Vikings are going to be a distinct problem. I think the NFC North could be second best division in football behind The AFC North.
Speaking of the AFC North, winner, Steelers. Been talking about this O-line for years.
Loved it.
They get
Zach Frazier.
Yep, and the tackle out of Washington.
Listen, the Steeler O-line was a problem. They double-dipped on it. It's like the Lions with the secondary. Bill Walsh always used to talk about it. You don't, like, dodge your fears. It's not a one-and-done. If you have a weakness, double down on fixing the weakness. If you need a corner, take two. You need a guard, take two. Fix the problem. The Steelers are attempting to fix the problem. The Lions, they didn't just trade up for Terrion Arnold. They drafted Rakestraw. Fix the problem.
And the problem, Lions gave up the most air yards in the league, most yards per catch. That's a downfield issue.
Yeah.
Double up on the corners. Another team that doubled up at corner, the Eagles.
Yes.
I thought they were a winner.
Fix the problem.
Yes.
You know what's amazing with the Eagles? And I think in some ways the Lions are becoming this. I feel like any player I actually really like ends up on the Eagles.
For years it'd be the Ravens would be a team like that.
Yep.
Yep.
And again, it's a sign of a good franchise. I mean, what's your problem? Our secondary's terrible. Our defense was terrible. Fix the problem. The Eagles walk away with arguably the number one corner. They double down on it. You know, it's one of these deals where you're like, okay, this makes sense. I mean, Cooper DeJean.
Yep, second round.
Quinyon Mitchell. You're adding these pieces to that defense. Fix the problem.
Later in the draft, they took Shipley and Trotter. Some guys for some depth.
And it's Jeremiah Trotter's kid.
I know,
good
I know.
Philadelphia Eagle ball player. He was a good linebacker for Clemson.
And they manipulated the board. They have 9 picks next year. So, like, they got their dudes, and then they.
What did you make of your Lions effing them picks?
A little bit, right?
Yeah, no third, no fourth.
And think about how the thirds have been used by Holmes, right? He used a third to get Carlton Davis. He used a third to move up and draft Arnold in this draft. And then he used next year's third to get a 6'8 mammoth of a human being.
Yep.
He won't have that next year.
Right.
So it is, let's not exaggerate it. This isn't burn all the picks. But
I think the Lions turned a corner and acting like big boys.
Yes.
Fuck them picks.
He traded up 4 times. That's a heat check. A general manager's like, I'm going to get my dudes. I'm red hot. I know this board. I know this league. I'm going to go do it.
That also worries me a little bit. So he's starting to feel himself a little bit at the blackjack table.
This is him hosting from the logo.
Yeah.
If you're Steph, it's a great shot. Yeah. Everybody else.
Yes. You've said it all.
Chargers were a winner. I think a very tone-setter draft for Harbaugh. You take the tackle right away, and Joe Alt, maybe the safest guy in the draft. Ladd McConkey fits.
He's a Harbaugh player.
Yep. And then I like Vidal, the running back out of Troy.
Yes.
Really savvy late pick for them. I think he could end up being the lead guy.
Yeah, and he's a physical player.
Yep.
And again, they signed J.K. Dobbins. They signed a couple of reclamation projects. They'll find a running back.
Yep.
You don't pay running backs.
Nope.
You find running backs.
And they will.
Or if you're the Giants, you just don't have any running backs.
One more winner, and then we'll go losers. I had Saban, Belichick as analysts.
Winners.
Yep.
I think their caustic personality can be very good on television. I think it's the opposite of Tom Brady. Saban and Belichick have nothing to lose. They're in their 70s. They're out here having a good time. They're finally able to cut the PC shit. They can do what they want, right?
Mm-hmm.
Brady will never go to the space that those two go. Too safe, too worried about his brand. I don't think Brady's going to be any good at this.
I hear you. But I'll tell you, Saban was, and Belichick was. Belichick told a story about Randy Moss hanging up the phone on him 3 different times when they tried to trade for him.
Yeah.
And then he's talking about, coach, you're never going to see single high anymore. Get ready for two high and cover two. It was just a cool little insight. And if they're going to tell stories, they've been around the game forever. If they're going to like actually let people behind the curtain,
that's the key.
They're two of the smartest, sharpest guys around.
If you're not going to share, if you're not going to be interesting, it doesn't mean you have to be provocative. It doesn't mean you have to do like Stephen A. Smith hot take shit. But
clearly.
Like, right. They were very good.
Very good.
I'd love to see them do more.
Some losers. We'll start with the obvious one.
Yeah.
Penix, Cousins, and the Atlanta Falcons organization.
It made no sense. And the only thing that made less sense was the attempts by some in the media, Orlovsky, to try to defend it. Like, sometimes you just don't need to defend it. It's ridiculous. Penix is not 19 or 20. Penix is a 23-year-old man. He doesn't need to sit for 2-3 years. You just paid Kirk Cousins $200 million. And if you liked Penix that much, I hate to break it to you. You got to move down if you're going to execute this. To compare this to the Jordan Love or Aaron Rodgers deals It's a false equivalency.
Those were late 20s picks.
Thank you very much. This was the number 8 overall pick in the draft. You mean to tell me Atlanta couldn't have used a lead corner? Couldn't have used Dallas Turner?
Whoever they deemed the best defensive player in the draft available at 8.
Right. Or you just double and triple and quadruple down on Cousins.
Playmakers, linemen.
What if you had drafted a receiver? What if you had just said, you know what? We have Drake London. We have Pitts. We have Bijan. We now have Roma Dunze. We are going all in on this.
In a winnable division.
Instead, you drafted a player who will never play unless Cousins is dead.
And Penix may be the biggest loser of that bunch because he seemed to be a guy ready to play. He had been in college forever.
Agree.
He needs to play football, not sit 3 years while Cousins, even only 2 years while Cousins gets his guarantees. Cousins is going to get paid and he's going to start, so maybe he's not the biggest loser of the bunch. But for Atlanta, what are you doing?
I can't explain it and I won't try.
Okay, Dak Prescott, loser. They didn't, in a deep receiver draft, Dallas does not address the position until the 6th. No running back. They brought Zeke Elliott back. What do we, Dallas, this is your all-in offseason?
They can't go all in.
I know, but.
It's the dirtiest secret in the world. They're stuck with Dak for another year. Their cap is a nightmare. You were never going to pay Pollard. I just think they're capped out. They've had 3 straight 12-win years. It's resulted in nothing. They're probably looking at more of a rebuild than anything else. And frankly, it wouldn't surprise me if a year from now they're talking about trading Micah Parsons.
You're not the first person I've heard say that.
I'm not trying to paint some terrible picture, but this is how this works. This is why I implored the Lions to go all in. You think you're just going to be flying high forever. It's not going to happen.
And it goes quick. It's fleeting in the league.
Go get it. So, no, the Cowboys puzzled a little bit, no question.
I had the Niners listed here. They still have Debo and Ayuk, but they drafted 2 receivers early. Anyone want to tell them the O-line's been on the decline?
100% with you. Outside of Trent Williams, you could justify replacing probably 3 of the 4 guys. Really, now, Pearsall, I understand. You know,
he fits.
They're kind of comping him a little bit to Debo. Mm. A physical ball player, a guy who makes the contested catch, takes on contact. Pearsall made some of the most incredible catches at Florida you'll ever see. And if Shanahan likes him, I'm good with it. What I didn't understand is what you just said. How do you not sprinkle in a couple linemen here to recharge that O-line?
And again, to me, it makes a little more sense if you feel like Ayuk's getting traded or Debo's getting traded. They weren't. Maybe the picture isn't complete yet. Running back position, loser. Didn't have one drafted until 46th overall. Second latest selection for the first running back in NFL history.
Position devalued, plus it wasn't a good year for running backs. Period. I mean, that's it. Jonathan Brooks is not a lead back. You know, Blake Corum, get the hell out of here.
No, it's a bad
running back draft. It was a bad quarterback draft. How about after Bo Nix goes, you don't see another quarterback go for 140 picks.
It's incredible. Well, some of that is Bo Nix shouldn't have gone that high, but...
Fine, then it's 110 picks.
I have loser, the city of Green Bay, because you got to follow up this draft.
Yeah, good luck. There'll be a lot of cheese curds and meth.
And honorable loser, the Bears drafting a punter in the 4th round.
I have no idea what they're doing.
You do plan on picking up first downs, right? You don't envision using this guy, right?
Idea what they're doing. Never. There is no scenario. Ever, I'm using a 4th round selection on a kicker or a punter. Ever. It would never happen. I don't care if my scouts came to me and told me every player on my board is paralyzed. I'd take one of those players before I took a kicker or a punter in the 4th.
This is the legendary Iowa punter, but it doesn't matter. It's still a punter.
Matter. None of this matters.
And
the 4th round pick could be a starter for your team tomorrow.
And you will have to punt, but you don't want to punt. You don't want to use a premium.
You just pay $10 and go find a veteran, and you're good.
You're good. That's all you need to do.
I quit.
Did I miss any other obvious storylines from the NFL draft?
No, not that I can imagine, other than the fact I don't understand why people leave home to go to it. Why people, like, if you live in Phoenix, why were you here? To see your team draft players, you don't know who they are. It is a bizarre thing.
You're saying to people who travel for it.
Oh, yeah. Like, if you're local and you want to just see
I went Saturday. I mean, why not? I was telling Evan, outside, beautiful day.
Jim, the rodeo could be in town and you'd go.
The what could?
The rodeo. You're an event guy.
I'm not a rodeo guy.
You're an event guy, though. Yeah. It wouldn't shock me.
I felt like I had to go see it. It's in my
Evan
backyard.
Evan and I are watching Ohio State, Penn State, and you're at a candle festival. You are an event guy. You and your wife like to be out and about around.
She was out of town. This was go to the draft with some boys
Bachelor
and watch.
Bachelor Jim. He's out at the draft. He's down at Bazookie's. He's partying.
But I felt like it was in your backyard. You should go see it.
Okay.
You should be a part of it.
Listen, I took a look out the window from my broadcast location. I went, nope. I went back to work.
All right. Fair enough.
Carry on.
You want to give a little derby here and then mailbag?
Sure. No, I'm happy to. And I'll have a full episode later in the week. So here's what we're going to do. Now, Churchill Downs finally got this right. They did something cool. It was opening night at Churchill Downs. Saturday, they did derby, Downs After Dark. So they did night racing. Live music, you know, food trucks, the whole bit. But they did the live Derby draw and the live Oaks draw between two different races. So they spaced them out. And in the hour in between, they did a live draw. So it's like the NBA lottery. So let me start out with that. Don't overthink the draw. You're going to see all kinds of things this week. For instance, the favorite in the race, Fierceness, drew the 17 hole. No horse who's ever run from the 17 spot has won the Derby. Does not matter. Because those stats don't take into account, has anyone decent ever drawn from the 17? Don't overthink it. Now, you'll hear me talk about draws, and I'll go, this will help a horse hurt a horse.
But it's not make or break.
Yeah, no. And like one of the horses I'm ruling out from winning the Derby, the draw is only a little piece of it. The other part is I think he's a fraud. I think he's a dressed up goat. So we're going to get into it. But here's how you approach the Derby. There are two pathways. You are either team Fierceness or team beat Fierceness. That's where this begins and ends, because Fierceness is the favorite at 5-2, better part of 3-1 in the parimutuel. He is the fastest horse. He is, when he runs his best race, the best horse in this field who has put up speed figures by any measure, whether it's DRF, Thoroughgraph, the Ragazins, the Brizzies, time form, the best figures. His figures, when he runs, trump anything anyone in this field has. So what's the downside? Why are we not putting the retirement on Fierceness? Three races where he got it all his own way, dominance. Two races where he didn't, doggy duty.
So not good with adversity.
Well, that's the key. So he runs in the Florida Derby, and it's a shit field, and he gets it his own way, and he gets a lone lead, and he just basically, he's faster than these other horses. The Derby, it's 20 horses, not 7, not 9, mm-hmm. not 11, it's 20. If Fierceness gets to the front, controls the pace, is he the best? Of course he is. But you got to make a determination. Is he going to get everything his own way? So right from the top, make your decision. Do I believe this horse is Godzilla? He's running faster figures right now. Like the last time I think a horse entered the Derby posting a 110 or better speed figure, think of this as like a 40-yard dash, Jim. So like a buyer speed figure is a 40.
Mm-hmm.
He put up like a 112 in the Florida Derby. It's a huge number. The last time I remember a Derby horse having that type of speed into the Derby, it wasn't Justify, it wasn't American Pharoah, wasn't Always Dreaming. I think you got to go back to Smarty Jones. You got to go back 20 years to find a horse that ran that kind of race headed into the Derby.
But if I know you...
I'm trying to beat him.
Yeah. I already know what camp you're in.
I know.
You're not betting the favorite.
Well, here's the other
You're going to do what you do. You're going to look for...
Value,
that's right.
Here's the other thing. I'm usually pretty bad on Derby Day. The Derby's really hard to hit. Derby Day is really hard. Like, there was a race Saturday night at Churchill Downs. It was the feature. Really, really nice stake race. Guys, when I tell you capping the race, you could have gone 5, 6, 7 horses deep. It's just a really good field and everyone really close to each other.
Yeah.
That's all Derby Day. You're going to have, I believe, 6 or 7 graded stakes on the card, including the Kentucky Derby. That, now, if you're right, you're going to score. I mean, you will get paid. So your job truly is to be right once. So naturally, I'll put a lot of hard work into this. And then if I don't hand people a retirement plan, they're going to get all pissed off at me like I'm supposed to go in and hit 6 races on Derby Day. But we'll try. God bless, Evan. Oh, my God. Double sneeze into the sleeve. So do you want me to do a quick rundown?
I want you to do as much as you want to do.
All right. If you like fierceness, bet him. Bet him on top. Don't box it. Bet him to win.
Can I just do just
sure.
to win?
Sure.
If you believe in him.
He's the fastest horse. If he gets it his way, he will obliterate everyone.
My point is you don't have to get cute and find a first, second, third to get value. If you just believe him,
Think about it. Like if I gave you Georgia football and I offered you plus 300 for them to win a game, you'd be like, value. You'd
right.
be like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Look, I do believe you're going to get the better part of 5-2 on the horse. So like,
it's kind of like UConn when the NCAA tournament started, they were like plus, right. 300, right
if,
around
if,
there.
So if at any given game they played, I offered you plus 300, would you take?
Yes.
Even if they were down 8.
Sure.
You'd take it.
Yeah.
So, look, let's approach this. I'll just give you horses that I think I want to use. I'm not ready to make my final pick yet because Lord knows I got a lot of work to do. But all right, let's start out. I'll blow through these quick.
Hey, I'll kick my feet up. Go for it.
Kick your feet up. All right, the one, Door Knock, out. Complete toss for me. Has beat nothing, including the worst edition of the Fountain of Youth I've ever seen. Plus, he draws the rail, which means he's got to go. I'm not using Door Knock. You can have him. The two, Sierra Leone. This horse has beaten me twice in the final four strides, once in the Risen Star, once when I was there at the Bluegrass. He's legit. He's Shaquille O'Neal level size. His strides are behemoth. He's a late runner. So the post draw here, here's your problem. You don't mind the fact that you want to stalk and carve a trip and make one big run. When you're in the Derby, all these horses can come over and seal you up. They can bury you down. Now, the good part, you can grab that rail. You can let Door Knock go. You can let a couple of these other horses go, and you can try to carve out that rail trip. Now, make no mistake, kickback galore, traffic galore. It's going to be on you. You know, Tyler Gaffleone is an outstanding jockey. You got to carve a trip. This is the value to jockey. But I think Sierra Leone is very live. I think Sierra Leone is very good. And again, if fierceness gets it his own way, no one's catching him. But Sierra Leone 3-1, I'm going to use somewhere. Mystic Dan's a toss to me. I don't like the draw for the horse at all. He does have the third highest speed figure in the field. My problem is that number was on a sloppy track. We're not going to get rain this weekend. When horses put up a slop figure, and it's isolated, and it's amazing compared to everything else they've done, it's a red flag.
Right.
Some horses like the slop, some horses like it fast. So Mystic Dan is a toss to me. Not that he's a bad horse, I just don't buy him. And by the way, you can't bet all 20, or you'd go broke. Catching
the math
Freedom.
Checks out on that, by the way.
Yeah. Catching Freedom, I like. I do. 8-1 on this horse, so you'll get the better part of 10-1 by the time it pays out. I do have a future on this horse at 36-1 that I bet about 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago. I think, again, it's another late runner. It's another closer. I think there's a lot of speed in this race. Fierceness is a part of that. Last year's Derby was insane pace-wise, okay? Totally stupid. I don't know that we'll see that again, but if there's pace, I want a few coming from the back here where they're going to start closing into it. And at 8-1, I got to do it. I like Catching Freedom. I will use in my bets. Catalytic's a toss to me. Just Steel is this year's Mage for me.
Mm.
It's a horse I love. I saw him live on debut at Saratoga. He finished second to a Pletcher monster, a horse named Pirate. This is an all heart. This is a Jim Costa back in your high school football days. You didn't have
clear eyes, full heart.
Right.
Jim was
a never say die. That's how they play ball down in Livonia. All grit, one pride.
That's right.
Just Steel has talent, but he's a fighter. And what I love with this horse, shows up with a hard hat on. He's run 11 times already. That is a huge number. And he's not even at the midway point of his 3-year-old season. But Just Steel, he has faced some monsters. Now, I love what they did in the Arkansas Derby. They changed tactics. Originally, I thought Just Steel, when I saw him twice at Saratoga Live. It's like he was following me. It's my spirit animal. I thought he was going to be more of a sprinter. I thought he was going to, maybe max out at a mile. But they took him back in the Arkansas Derby, and they turned him into an off-pace horse. And this horse, he's got a mind about him. He's got heart. He wants to... The great horses want to do this. Just Steal at 20-1. I'm not telling you he can win, but I'll be damned if I'm leaving him off my tickets. I'm going to put him somewhere underneath. He'll come flying, and he may not get it done, but he will give you his absolute best. I love him. I do. He's like Maige. I love this horse, so I got to include him. All right, the seven. This is the buzz horse, and this, if you want a bomb, who I'm going to hand you to win the race, a bomb, Honor Marie. So this is a horse, I got to be honest. First of all, just had one of the most impressive works headed into the Derby that's got everybody talking. This is a horse that only, all right, you finish second in the Louisiana Derby. This is a horse that hasn't run a ton, right? So only five career races compared to something like Just Steal with 11. I think there's more juice in the orange here. I think this is a horse we haven't seen the best of yet. 20-1. Now, I don't think you're seeing 20-1 on Derby Day. It wouldn't shock me if this got cut in half. But if you wanted a bomb, plus 1,100, plus 1,200, plus 1,500, that I think can legitimately win, Honor Marie is that horse for me. It just, first start of the year, finished fifth in the Risen Star. That was the race Sierra Leone ran me down when I had Track Phantom. But Honor Marie improved again in the Louisiana Derby. And if there's another level to it, 20-1, I think it's interesting. I don't think Just a Touch can win. That's the horse I had in the Bluegrass. Got run down. I got a little bit of an issue with it. I don't really... Look, I thought this horse was a dead winner in the Bluegrass. I thought I was home free. Kiss of death. And then here came Shaquille O'Neal eating up 20 yards astride.
Barbecue chicken.
Sierra Leone. Sacramento, Queens. Listen, this is a horse out of Justify. This is regally bred. Brad Cox is a superstar trainer. I like the horse. Underneath, 10-1, you betcha. I don't know if you can win. Encino, total wild card. Interesting. I think at 20-1, you could use underneath. I'm not going to put on top. The 10-TO password. Hope you enjoyed coming. Forever Young, here's your problem. At some point, a Japanese horse is going to win this. I promise you. At some point, it will happen. It's been a vision quest of both the Middle East and the Asian community to win this. There's huge racing culture in the Middle East and in Asia. They just haven't gotten this done. Forever Young at 10-1 might be their best shot, but man, it's just been a, you go to the UAE Derby, you don't win the Kentucky Derby. I'm willing to lose. Last year, I got a little seduced. I did, with Dermasota Gake. And horse didn't run terrible, but if I have my choices of 10-1s, I'll take Just a Touch over Forever Young. So I'm going to blast that out. Track Phantom, love this horse. I'm out on this. I've been run down twice using Track Phantom. Didn't hold his speed in the Risen Star. Didn't hold his speed in the Louisiana Derby. And I think there's going to be competition for the pace. He's not going to get it his own way. Track Phantom's a horse that if this horse runs in the Preakness in a couple of weeks, I'll be all over. But I'm going to toss Track Phantom out. So I've pretty much just guaranteed that horse for the winner's circle. West Saratoga, out. Ownership wants to go on the dirt. The trainer wants to go on the grass. See you later. Want no part of that. Endlessly at 30-1. You want an absolute bomb to use in your verticals? Third or fourth? I think Endlessly at 30-1 could be that. Mike McCarthy, super underrated. You get Umberto Rispoli, my third cousin from Italy. Very exciting. But I think Endlessly underneath. Domestic Product, I'm going to toss. Domestic Product is out of a sire named Practical Joke, who's one of my famous sprinters of all time, one of my favorites. Look, Tampa Derby, it is a Rad Ortiz. It'll get bet. But I don't know, man. I just don't love it. Second in the Holy Bull, which I don't think was some great race. The speed figures don't add up. I'll get beat by Domestic Product. I'm willing to lose on that. Grand Moto first, see you later. Fierceness the 17, absolute win contender. I'd be an idiot if I don't throw him in my verticals, an idiot if I don't throw him in my pick four or pick five. I am going to try to beat him in this race, but you have to use him. Stronghold, I just don't believe is good enough. It's a great story, but I don't think it's good enough. Resilience is one, it checks a lot of boxes for me. A, it's an into mischief. I love those. B, I think Bill Mott is just super underrated as a trainer. I love him. You're getting 20-1. Look, I feel like when you look at this and you have, all right, you win your maiden, you go right on the Derby trail. You know, you finish fourth in the Risen Star. Well, look at this. The other three horses above you, all won races on the Derby trail, including Sierra Leone. So there's an ability to stalk for resilience. Now, do I think he's good enough? No, probably not. Do I want to lose because he finished second, third, or fourth? No. I'm going to throw him in. I have to. Society Man, may as well have Evan run. And then you're in the also eligibles. So I'm going to use, here's how I've whittled it to start my prep this week.
Yeah.
That's the way you do this. It's like a betting card in college football, Jim. You're sitting down and you go, hot diggity dog. Not that you'd ever use that phrase.
What year
I got
is this?
32 games to bet.
Yeah.
So we're going to take 20 down to this number.
What, how many?
Sierra Leone is one. Catching Freedom is two.
Okay.
Just Steel is three. Honor Marie is four. Just a Touch is five. Encino, six. And Fierceness is seven.
Okay.
I'm down to seven horses I'm interested in using with potential for resilience. So I start Monday. I've whittled the field 60% out. Now my next job is, by the time you hear from me later this week, be able to structure this appropriately and whittle this to two win contenders. Then three or four underneath horses to play triples and supers. And then I'll have a pick. And yeah, I'll try to do some exactas and take a shot. Now, to pick four, pick five? No, bet your ass. This version of the Derby, I will price out my pick five ticket where I can go four or five deep in the Derby. I have to.
Okay.
I have to. And if Fierceness wins, he'll be on my four or five.
Right.
I have
it's
to.
Not like he's not going to be in the mix.
But I'm telling you, I'm a little bit seduced by Honor Marie here a little bit. So we'll talk about it further. But that's where we're at. And if you're looking for the Oaks, I know what I saw at Saratoga last year with Ways and Means, and I know she went away for a long time and she came back off the bench a little rusty. The Oaks is big time on Friday. It's a really good field. Man, if I get 5-1 on Ways and Means, I may have to dip back in on that puppy. So I'll have everything for you later in the week.
Listening to you talk, Just Steel and Honor Marie are the two I can't wait to hear whether you talk yourself into or out of by the end of the week.
Hey, no scenario I'm talking myself out of those two.
No, they but like in terms of winning, that's what I'm saying. Not that you're going to leave them off.
I don't think my boy Just Steel can win.
Okay.
But man, he gives an honest effort.
But it's just the way you talk about them. You could. There's like something deeply like you connect.
I do. I do. I love these animals. Man. Yeah. And they're, you know, if you get a chance to spend time around them, which, dude, if you come out to Saratoga this summer, man, we can. I'll arm you with some peppermints. Okay. We'll get you up to this. We'll get you up to the morning session. Get you an iced coffee.
Here we go.
And then you can stand in front of one of these and tell them how much you don't like their work. Then hopefully it kicks you right in the face.
All right.
No, I'm
season three. No gym. Skull crushed by a horse.
Season three, get hooved.
Oh, no.
All right, so that's where I'm at. Excited about it, ready to roll. We got a mailbag?
We do. I have a few I want to get to you. The first is from Ben from Cincinnati. You may remember Ben. He was the guy that goes to the Bearcats school.
Yes.
Yeah. He says, the Kelsey brothers run my university. Jim and Mike, I'm a Metro Detroit native that goes to the University of Cincinnati. I was going to stay quiet about this topic until I heard Mike ranting about this in one of his In Football Todays. First off, I don't know what's more crazy, that 20,000 people wanted to watch two guys talk about how drunk they got while they were in college, or that outside of students getting in via lottery, they had to pay $100 per ticket to watch this garbage. He says, he's been gone from Cincinnati for over 10 years. Students my age want to act like they remember him when they were roughly 8 years old. Secondly, the clip of him chugging a beer from the president while getting his degree rubbed me the wrong way. And in all honesty, I can't blame him for doing it. He's one of the biggest attention whores I've seen on social media. Now, who can blame the university? What I can blame the university for is enabling him.
Correct.
Is what Ben says. He says, I remember you saying that the president should have run his ass off the stage, but in fact, it's the opposite.
Yeah, it's a joke.
This year, there are dedicated, wow, this goes on, dedicated corners in the bookstore, all Kelce exclusive Bearcat merchandise.
Meanwhile, he was a walk-on quarterback there who got kicked out of school for weed, and his brother had to talk the coach into putting him back on the team.
He says the campus enables him, and it's gross. Real question, though, am I already turning into an old white guy this early in my life, Ben?
No. Look, let me do this. Evan, turn his microphone off for the next minute. I love how now, if you have any standards or any form of personal ethos, the attack method on you is you're a boomer or you're an old man yelling at clouds or you got a stick up your ass. No, I have standards. I believe when you graduate college, there should be a standard there, okay? And if you're going to attend that graduation, mind you, with both Kelce brothers attaining wholly fake degrees, who are we kidding? Like, would it kill you to just be an adult for a minute? I'm not telling you not to go live your life and chug beers and do wrestling speeches for the Super Bowl. Do your thing. You have a podcast you have a great time with. You do it with your brother. Fine. I understand. You're dating Taylor Swift. God bless. Do your thing. That seems like a nightmare to me. I don't know how you date a woman who's that famous. You have no privacy. You have no time away. But the college thing, look, I take it more serious because no one in my family had gone to college. It meant a great amount to my family and to me that I did that and I was able to accomplish something and maybe be a bit of an example for my younger sisters who have now gone on to both be college graduates. I just think it's a fucking joke. And I get tired in this world that if someone's a celebrity, we lower our standards. Like Brittany Mahomes, why are you allowed to spray people with champagne and, you know, talk down to people? For what? Being married to the quarterback of the Chiefs? Like that's a Willy Wonka golden ticket? It's the same thing. You shouldn't be up on stage next to the president of a university receiving a college degree and chugging a beer. It's fucking stupid. Sorry. Yo, old man. My whole point is we've lost standards in this world, and I don't think it's right.
Counterpoint. It's fun.
There it is. Nuanced.
But hold on. I will give you a response because clearly we don't agree on this. I think the university is right to monetize those two. They're huge public figures. They absolutely should be doing that.
You supporting a place of learning, further monetizing their business is hilarious.
That's
to
called
me.
Marketing, though.
No, if you it's get a called gift tuition like those rates two- in this country over the last 25 years have gone up 300%.
I'm not defending
are
that.
You getting,
Mike.
Are you getting a salary out of college that is commiserate with what you're paying for?
No, and we can do that, Pod.
My point is these schools are scumbags, too. Even mine.
But the way... when you get this gift where these two guys are super popular, where there is a demand, where people are going to show up and listen to them, you're damn right the university should do what they can do to make a buck off. I don't fault them for that.
Make a buck, he says, Evan. Hey, question, Ev. When the universities have totally destroyed college sports in the name of making a buck, they didn't make enough money there? Billions. Look at the endowments of these schools. You think they got to, quote, make a buck?
I'm saying I don't knock someone for trying.
Okay.
And the point about the stage, I don't think they should be held to a different standard. I'd have no issue if a regular student did that.
Oh, my dear God. Okay.
Come on. It's a fun moment. You're celebrating you and getting your degree. And if you want to celebrate for a second of fame while you walk across the stage, I have no issue with it. It's fun.
Is this where we use the phrase agree to disagree?
Yeah.
I think that's where I'm headed here.
The next email. Oh, by the way, he says that Kelce lost his ring a vat of chili. What did he lose his Super Bowl ring in?
Skyline chili.
Skyline chili, Evan says.
I quit.
Okay.
Jeez Louise.
This next one is a horse racing one. There we go. Now he perks up. Says, what's your opinion about Ed DeRosa?
What, the handicapper?
He says, I like European harness racing and have made money with his picks. Surprised that he likes fierceness in the Derby after hearing what Mike says. Who's this? Didn't sign his email.
I don't bet European racing nor harness racing. Ed DeRosa's a veteran in the game, very sharp, very educated. I'm not surprised if anybody likes fierceness.
Right.
Listen, back in the day, like Justify, his weapon or American Pharoah, like the great horses, it's their cruising speed. Like their average jog or run is just that much faster than everyone else's. That's before you get to the part where you drop the reins and turn the horse loose. If fierceness gets it his own way, these figures tower over this field. I just get your own way and Kentucky Derby really don't go together.
This is a very specific horse racing question. I want to make sure I find it because this is right up your alley.
Oh, is it?
Advice. This is from Hunter.
Yeah.
Gents, long story short, three buddies and I went in on a horse racing partnership. We had a small percentage of a horse. Total investment ended up being, you want me to give the number?
No, don't. Don't out Hunter anyway, in case someone's listening.
He says, darn thing got hurt and never ran. Yep. Don't worry, Mike. We did the right thing. We got it adopted so it could have a second career. We got back a very small portion compared to the initial.
Yeah.
He says, we've been gambling with it for a couple months to try to get back up.
Oh, my God.
The bankroll is over blank. Obviously, it'll be a trick to get all the way back up to very large number.
Blank.
Should we keep it rolling or put it towards another group dinner? Any thoughts, Hunter?
Hunter, listen, first of all, No. That's the way, if you're going to try to play the game, that's how you play it, because you can't compete against, you know, owning an entire horse yourself is, it's financially injurious. The bills alone, you'll spend the better part of $50,000 a year to take care of a thoroughbred horse the right way. No corners cut, no nonsense, the right way. Getting in syndication and now all of a sudden you're paying 5% of that or 10% of that, it's the only way to do it. Now, if you're Mike Rapoli and you invented vitamin water and then you created No Bull, you can spend $52 million a year on horses and you don't give a fuck. So the point is, Hunter, it's up to you and your group. The way I always view it is you chose to gamble the money in the first place by pursuing a dream and owning a piece of a racehorse. If you and your group are enjoying the days of betting, the camaraderie, the group text, play. You know, look, Here's what gambling is. Here's what, I'm sure FanDuel's going to love this comment. But the reality is, it's an entertainment product. It's no different than what's your budget to go to the bar? What's your budget to golf with? What's your budget to, maybe you collect guns. Maybe you love weed. Maybe you love going to dinner. Maybe you love going to Vegas a couple times a year. What's that table at XS cost you? So the point I'm making is, Hunter, this is your disposable income.
Yep.
Do what you want with it because you're not hurting anyone. So, we always start out every Triple Crown season, me and a couple of buddies with a pool of money. And the whole goal is, like, pay for Saratoga. Pay for the rented house and just go get it. And certain years it goes good and certain years it goes bad. And in the case of this year, it's gone both good and bad. It's been an emotional roller coaster for us. But the point is, play.
As someone who has seen the numbers, he'd have to 10X what he currently has to get back with the horses. I'd just go to dinner.
Maybe, but
I'm not delusional enough to believe that anybody's going to 10X, Hunter, no matter how good a gambler you
Hunter,
are.
Go down swinging.
Is this where we agree to disagree a second time? Go to dinner. Have your boys enjoy a beautiful evening.
I'll give you an example. So I played a little bit on Saturday. Nothing crazy.
Yeah.
But it was downs after dark. They were drawing the Derby. I cooked a very nice dinner for my wife and I. And I'm like, we're going to watch some races. And I got to the last leg of a pick five. Not going to say the amount that I played because it's no one's business. But I can tell you that it was going to be, would have been 100X what I had on the ticket. I had two different ways to get out in the last race. And I just didn't get home. My point is, can he go 10X? Sure he can.
Sure.
Good especially race with the horizontal wagers. But, I didn't put that much into it. Let me be very clear. And I had a chance to really get home. Like, that's the beauty of the game. I would say if you're going to get 4, 5, 6 days of gambling with your boys at the track out of this money, I'd go down swinging. You know, if I'm sitting over here next to Dave Ramsey, he's going to tell you to put it on his house over here. Jim Ramsey over here.
Yeah, right.
Pay down your debts.
Beans and rice. Last one.
What are you doing driving a car? Ride a fucking horse. Like, okay, Dave, take it easy.
Advice from 1985 called.
You got to pay down that house. Didn't you listen to the part the guy makes 19 grand a year? I don't fucking care.
Call in with how much debt. Which one to use the doctor and which one to use the lawyer? That's what college costs to bring it full circle. Sorry, Dave.
Jesus Christ. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right.
Go down swinging, Hunter.
Betting on the ponies in the Meadowlands.
I'm out. You're a degenerate.
This is from, I want to make sure he signed it so I don't. Jason, he says, hey, Mike and Cookies, I was just at a wedding in Hoboken.
Oh, God.
My cousins, I'm from the Detroit area. And the men's party the night before, I don't think it was the actual bachelor party, was at the Meadowlands Sports Complex, specifically the racetrack. The setup was an amazing experience. Buffet, dinner, drinks, table, watching the finish line. Betting the horses was an absurd amount of fun.
Despite, even if they're carrying around a buggy.
Says, despite basically betting on cool names, I 10 out of 10 recommend in a controlled night at the racetrack. It's yes. fun for everyone. Says, Mike, do you know of anywhere, any nearby racetracks in Metro Detroit? I know most of them, if not all, have closed down.
Yeah, none that I
get. Keep looking for, snaps fingers, value, signed, Jason.
I will tell you the same thing I have said again and again and again. 5 hours, 4 hours and 45-minute drive, go down to Lexington and go to Keeneland. Just go in October or go in April. You know, I used to tell people if you could go to Arlington Million Day, the Arlington racetrack, which is now destroyed because the Bears are greedy scumbags. Arlington was a beautiful facility. Great little weekend in Chicago. Go to the races by day. Maybe go see a game at night. There's no track I would go to out here. There's just not. There's nothing. We're absolutely zapped as a horse state.
Just real quick. Why? Why did that happen?
That's too long of a discussion.
Okay.
Just move on.
Right, fair enough.
Basically, if you could roadmap doing everything wrong as it would pertain to horse racing, the state of Michigan has done that.
Okay, we'll save you the time. CashTicketPodcast@gmail.com. We want your suggestions for season 3.
Go down swinging, Hunter.
Again, CashTicketPodcast@gmail.com. We cover all our bases.
Yeah, we're good, buddy. And okay. I'll come back. I'll handle the Derby later in a week and give some people some picks, and then people can complain when I don't hit 90%.
Sounds about right, doesn't it? And guys, the feed, it's not going to be dark. There will be occasional sprinkles, but for all intents and purposes, we are
going on
a little hiatus. We'll be back in August. Full previews, college, pro, new bells and whistles, new video elements, good stuff.
I'm not ready for any of this right now. We'll get to it.
Okay, let's Cash the Ticket.
Cash the Ticket is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more.